Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about memory. The Bible tells us again and again that we should remember things, and there are some places in which the Bible tells us that we should forget things. Have you ever had a friend who'd been bereaved, who managed to create an atmosphere of gloom and depression everywhere? To know Christ is to know the source of love, joy, and peace. If a gloomy person sees any small sign of joy in another, he may take offense. His sorrow seems to take command, as it were, of the whole atmosphere, and joy is officially banned. I think we've all had experience of that sort of person. Maybe we have been that sort of person, unfortunately. If so, we need to repent of that, don't we? George MacDonald said, "Sorrowful we may often have to be, but to indulge in sorrow is either not to know God or to deny Him who is our Savior." I'll repeat that. Sorrowful we may often have to be, but to indulge in sorrow is either not to know God or to deny Him who is our Savior. Yes, of course, one's heart does ache for the other person, and you lay your own heart as close as you can to that other person's. But you know, it is our duty to bring joy. Love, joy, and peace. Did you know that? So we must be very watchful for self-indulgence, for indulging in sad memories, and we must remember the needs of others. I remind you again of Paul in prison. Chained between two guards, Paul wrote the Epistle of Joy. In Philippians 2, which is a part of that letter, he says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." I remember my dear friend, Catherine Morgan. She was a missionary in Colombia. She still is a missionary in Colombia. She's about 85 years old. She's been there for more than 50 years. When she got the news on her radio that five missionary men had been killed in Ecuador, and she recognized the names of three of those men, she got in her beat-up old red pickup truck, and she drove over the world's worst roads from Colombia right down to Chelmeta, Ecuador, where we widows were together, waiting for the final word from the ground party that had gone in to search for and then to bury our husbands. And you know what Catherine Morgan did? She told us jokes. She made jello and fed it to our babies. She washed diapers. She cheered us up. She was in that kitchen. She was all over the place, rocking babies, putting babies to bed, changing their diapers, feeding them, doing all the little things. And she cheered us. She was joy in that place. Now, she was in a position to bring us joy because Catherine Morgan was a widow. She had been widowed when her little girls were, I think, something like four, five, six, and seven. I think they're not quite that close in age, but they were very small children. And Catherine Morgan herself had gone straight back to her missionary work and has been carrying it on ever since and is still there, as I say. She lives now in Bogota. She brought joy. That's our duty. In C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce, there's this dialogue. How could anyone love their son more than I did? Haven't I lived only for his memory all these years? That was rather a mistake, Pam. In your heart of hearts, you know it was. What was a mistake? All that 10 years ritual of grief, keeping his room exactly as he'd left it, keeping anniversaries, refusing to leave that house, though Dick and Muriel were both wretched there. Of course, they didn't care. I know that. I soon learned to expect no real sympathy from them. You're wrong. No man ever felt his son's death more than Dick. Not many girls loved their brothers more than Muriel did. It wasn't against Michael they revolted. It was against you, against having their whole life dominated by the tyranny of the past. And not really even Michael's past, but your past. You are heartless. Everyone is heartless. The past was all I had. It was all you chose to have. It was the wrong way to deal with sorrow. It was Egyptian, like embalming a dead body. Oh, of course, I'm wrong. Everything I say or do is wrong, according to you. That's the end of the passage from C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce. We've been talking about the treasures and the dangers of memory. Some of the dangers are so clearly expressed in this passage from C.S. Lewis's book. 10 years of ritual grief, keeping his room exactly as he left it, keeping anniversaries, refusing to move out of the house, though Dick and Muriel were both wretched there. Having your whole life dominated by the tyranny of the past. And it was not even the past of her son, it was her own past that was allowing her life to be dominated. Am I speaking to someone today who is pierced by these words? Am I speaking to someone, perhaps, who has allowed his or her whole life to be dominated by the tyranny of the past? We need to learn the difficult task of drinking the cup of sorrow, all of it, which means a wholehearted acceptance, without imposing this cup on others, creating an atmosphere in which they can hardly breathe, giving them a bad conscience if they happen to be happy. Someone has said that we need to learn a holy bashfulness, a chaste reserve. Vulnerability has become a very popular word, which means that we're supposed to expose our deepest pains. Maybe it's better to acquire that holy bashfulness, a chaste reserve, not making a show of our sorrows in order to elicit sympathy from someone else. People ask me quite often, what have you done with your anger against God? Well, what anger, I want to know. Weren't you angry with God because he took away two husbands? I don't think I was. Because, you know, Amy Carmichael had taught me a tremendous lesson, one of the lessons of my life. In acceptance lieth peace. Our attitude toward God should always be one of open hands. There are things which we need to relinquish. One of them is the past, the sad memories, the grief, the choking sorrow, which is legitimate at the time, but which we must not cherish and make a ritual out of. We must relinquish those sorrows. Our hands must be open also to accept the new assignment. The Lord has assigned me my portion and my cup. Widowhood became an assignment on January the 8th, 1956. I was then widowed. This was God's assignment, and he expected me to glorify him as a widow, not as a married woman. And that assignment lasted 13 years. God did bring along another husband, another assignment. Recently, I had a letter from my friend Jim O'Donnell, whose wife has cancer. Jim said, "This is God's assignment. Pray that the Lord will help us to learn the lessons in this new assignment." Do we indulge in a sickly appetite for sympathy? Do we impose our cup of sorrow on other people who are not capable of bearing this burden? Don't expect people to hover over you and surround you and prop you up forever. It's pure selfishness to create an atmosphere in which other people can hardly breathe. It's a terrible thing to give others a bad conscience if they happen to be happy, because you happen to be miserable. God can deliver us. God can give us joy. And I know from experience that in acceptance lieth peace.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.